Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
We've experienced so much hateful language, hateful speech. Such a negative environment has been created around the work that Planned Parenthood does around the idea of safe and legal abortion. And we've seen that across the country from all sorts of speakers in the last few months. I can't believe that this isn't contributing to some folks mentally unwell or not, thinking that it's okay to target Planned Parenthood or to target abortion providers.
Are you talking
so
about members
are
of Congress?
A place.
Are you talking about politicians?
I think politicians have been in that conversation, and I mean, you know that the airwaves are full of anti-abortion language, of anti-Planned Parenthood accusations, much of which is false in nature. And we at Planned Parenthood are first and foremost a healthcare provider. We provide life-saving services to all kinds of folks, men and women across our communities. And the tirades against Planned Parenthood in the last few months have really been over the top.
That's Vicki Cowart, president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Rocky Mountain, reacting to the shootings this weekend at a Planned Parenthood facility in Colorado Springs. Speaking on ABC this week, she says that the shooting is, it's the responsibility of pro-lifers, that it was incited by their rhetoric. She says it's over the top. In essence, she blames pro-lifers for the shooting in Colorado Springs. Now, how does a pro-lifer respond to that? We will be responding to that here in just a minute or two. Scott Klusendorf, founder and president of Life Training Institute, will join us to respond to those comments and to the general arguments made that somehow pro-lifers incite violence or that the pro-life movement is inherently violent against those who perform and partake in abortions. A little bit later in this hour of Issues Etc., we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. You can join us for the next hour with your questions or comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can also leave your questions, your comments, and your show suggestions at the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to react to the shootings at a Colorado Planned Parenthood facility, Scott Klusendorf. He's founder and president of Life Training Institute, author of the book The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture, and a recent column, In Their Own Words, Pro-Lifers Aren't the Only Ones Who Call Abortion Killing. Scott, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be with you, Todd.
First of all, your response to Vicki Cowart.
Well, Vicki is a coward. I don't know how else to put it. Basically, what she's saying is anyone who disagrees with Planned Parenthood and its allies in the media are guilty of hateful rhetoric, and that's why people are shooting up Planned Parenthood clinics. Now, this is a bunch of bunk, Todd. Let's review the basic pro-life argument. I'm going to put it for you in a very simplistic syllogism, and I want you, when I get done with it, to tell me where in that syllogism we get the idea, go pick up a gun and go shoot an abortionist. Here's the syllogism. It is wrong to intentionally kill an innocent human being. Premise two, abortion intentionally kills an innocent human being. Therefore, abortion is wrong. Now, that's the basic pro-life argument. My question is this. Where in that argument is there any idea at all that we ought to go pick up a gun and shoot people who perform abortions? The answer is none. It's not there. But there's a bigger problem, and I think you've highlighted it already, in that we are not the only ones who call abortion intentional killing. Many people on the other side do as well, as we'll discuss, I'm sure, in just a moment.
Okay, so essentially, what the pro-life argument here, she talked about you know, arguments against Planned Parenthood. She talked about the rhetoric that's often just kind of a term for unfounded declarations about abortion. How do you respond to those things?
Well, she didn't say anything specific. In essence, there's really nothing for the pro-lifer to refute in what she said because she didn't argue anything. She just strung together a group of vague assertions without being specific about anything. Now, I know what she means because I've been around these people enough to know what their game plan is. And what she is essentially saying is, if you call abortion intentional killing, you are guilty of hate speech that is responsible for the deaths of people at abortion clinics. That's the basic argument. And my premise is, wait a minute, show me where in the pro-life argument that it follows we ought to be picking up guns to go stop abortionists simply because we believe abortion is intentional killing. It simply does not follow. By the way, if hate rhetoric is responsible for these crimes, wouldn't she be responsible for any actions that might follow against pro-lifers because of what she said? I mean, if pro-lifers are as dangerous as she's making us out to be, then wouldn't that lead perhaps some people to pick up guns to harm pro-lifers?
I guess it would. It would certainly follow from her argument. Now,
before
we go on to talk about others who have, and not only pro-lifers, who have referred to abortion as killing, the pro-life argument, as you laid it out there, that simple syllogism, is not just an assertion. It is defended with science and sound reasoning. How would you walk us through that?
Well, we argue that the science of embryology establishes that from the earliest stages of development, you, Todd, and I were distinct, living, whole members of the human family. We didn't come from an embryo. We once were embryos. Secondly, we argue philosophically there's no essential difference between the embryos we were and the adults we are today that would justify killing us at that earlier stage of development. Differences of our size, level of development, environment, and degree of dependency are not good reasons for saying we could be killed then, but not now. Now, notice something. Vicky does nothing to refute that pro-life argument. She doesn't at all enjoin the syllogism I laid out. She doesn't at all attack our science. Instead, she attacks pro-lifers personally. This is an ad hominem attack where you attack the person rather than the actual argument that he or she is making. Now, let's say, Todd, just to make it a terrible world here, let's say it were true that pro-life rhetoric led to violence. It doesn't. I don't buy it for a moment, but let's say it were true. Would that in any way refute the pro-life argument that A, the unborn are human, or B, that intentionally killing them is wrong? And of course, the obvious answer is no. So in essence, this does nothing to advance the case against the pro-life movement. All it does is attack pro-lifers personally.
Are pro-lifers the only people making the case that abortion is killing?
Oh, not even close. I mean, we've got people all over the place making this point. The debate over the science has been settled for years. Consult any embryology textbook in the world, and you'll find that right there in clear print is the proposition that from the earliest stages of development, the unborn are indeed living whole members of the human family. That's not even up for grabs. But you will go even further and find that people on the other side admit that abortion is intentional killing. Dr. Warren Hearn, who Vicky didn't bother to consult, spoke at a Planned Parenthood conference. Now, Dr. Warren Hearn is the guy that wrote Abortion Practice, the textbook that teaches doctors how to dismember fetuses. Here's what he told a Planned Parenthood conference about the abortion procedure. He says, quote, "We have reached a point in this particular technology where there is no possibility of denying an act of destruction. It is before one's eyes. The sensations of dismemberment flow through the forceps like an electric current." That's pretty straightforward. Ronald Dworkin, in his book Life's Dominion, says that abortion deliberately kills a developing embryo and is a choice for death. And then, I mean, the topper here is feminist Camille Paglia. She says in a Salon article, and keep in mind, Todd, Salon is no friend of pro-lifers. She writes this: Hence, I have always frankly admitted that abortion is murder, the extermination of the powerless by the powerful. Liberals, for the most part, have shrunk from facing the ethical consequences of their embrace of abortion, which results in the annihilation of concrete individuals and not just clumps of insensate tissue. So my question for Vicky is this. Is that feminist guilty of the shooting that took place in Colorado Springs? Her rhetoric is identical to mine. If I'm guilty, she's guilty.
Now, I also would like you to address the issue of how pro-lifers responded at the on hearing about the Colorado Springs Planned Parenthood shooting.
Within minutes, even before the motive of the shooter was known, Planned Parenthood was already out saying it was hate rhetoric that caused that. And before it was even known if that was true, pro-lifers were all over social media saying they condemned these killings, that they were praying for the victims. In fact, one of the fatalities was a police officer who was also co-pastor at Hope Chapel in Colorado Springs, a pro-life church that I have spoken at. And he was killed defending Planned Parenthood employees. So the idea that we are all a bunch of hate mongers is just for the birds. But this is what the other side does. You know, there's an old saying in law school, if you have the facts, pound the facts. If you don't have the facts, pound the table and do it loudly. Well, that's what's going on here.
Now, I want you to deal with another one, which is kind of a nuance of the argument you responded to in the first place, and that has to do with violent imagery. There are some who have asserted that we've seen so much out of the Planned Parenthood undercover videos to incite someone to violence.
Well, imagine saying we shouldn't show video of drunk driving accidents because it might cause people to pick up guns and go shoot drunks. This is a silly argument. People look at disturbing visual imagery all the time. They look at disturbing visual imagery about World War II. They look at disturbing imagery about the Vietnam War. They look at disturbing imagery about spousal abuse and cocaine addiction. But nobody thinks we shouldn't show these images because, well, it might cause some to commit violent acts. It's only with abortion that we do this. And, you know, when you're dealing with a fascist ideology, which is what the abortion mindset is fast becoming at the street level, you're not dealing with people who want to refute pro-life arguments. They want to shut them down and silence them. And it's those people, not necessarily the academics, who try to advance a more nuanced case against the pro-life view. But at the street level, what you're hearing now are people who simply want to silence pro-life arguments, not refute them. Hey, listen, if the images of abortion are no big deal, if abortion really isn't the Holocaust and the bloody mess that we say it is, then why are you so afraid of the pictures being shown? And yet they are afraid, and that's why they try to censor them.
Scott Klusendorf is our guest. We're talking about the shootings at a Colorado Planned Parenthood facility, getting reflections on those and his response to pro-choice arguments in the wake of that shooting. It's Monday, November the 30th. He's founder and president of Life Training Institute, author of the book The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture, and a column in their own words, pro-lifers aren't the only ones who call abortion killing.
You can call it what you like.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Standing firm in a hostile world is the theme of the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th. This confessional Lutheran conference features Issues Etc. guest Adam Francisco, David J. Weber, Joe Abrahamson, attorney Mark Stern, and Professor Alan Quist. If you're in Texas or would like some warmer weather in February, check out the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th at faithlutheransa.org. faithlutheransa.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, talking with Scott Klusendorf, getting his reaction to the shootings at a Colorado Planned Parenthood facility and some arguments being made by pro-choicers after those tragic shootings. Folks, if you appreciate the timely responses to stories like this one, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible contribution to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. With about 5 weeks left in 2015, we're approximately $100,000 short of expenses. Our listeners have always helped us make up that year-end shortfall, and I know you can do it again this year. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make a financial gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues, Etc. and send it to Issues, Etc. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, Issues, Etc. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Your comprehensive source for news, information, and truth, Issues, Etc. Scott, I'm interested in your response to another one of these arguments that made, really just the assertion that pro-life protesters and the protests, especially when they're around clinics, are either violent or potentially violent. How do you respond?
Well, anybody who's watched an Occupy protest or a climate change protest can get a real idea of what violence looks like. These are protesters who attack police, shatter windows of businesses, throw things at civilians, and then leave a terrible mess behind that just wastes the environment when they're all done. I've never known a pro-life presentation that did anything like that. I've been to several public protests. Never once has there been one that came anywhere near that. And often what has happened in the past is people from the other side will infiltrate a peaceful pro-life demonstration and agitate and cause problems. And the media cameras happen to be there just at the right time to film this. And then the headline is, pro-lifers cause violent reaction at clinic, film at 11. When in reality, that's not what happened. So the idea that we should stop being a public witness against an evil because we're afraid of how the media might portray it, that's certainly not anywhere I want to go. We have to be on guard. We have to be people willing to make a courageous and persuasive defense for what we believe and let the chips fall where they may.
Speaking of media portrayal, what do you make of the instantaneous reporting on the Colorado Springs shooting versus the dragging of collective feet when it came to the Planned Parenthood videos?
Well, that's it. Immediately, before we knew anything about the shooter's intent, and by the way, we still don't know that. All we know is this guy was crazy, that he has a criminal record of abusing animals, that he's got some issues with being a peeping Tom. He's certainly no one known to the pro-life movement. I'd never heard of him before this event. And right away, the media was all over this saying, oh, he's one of the pro-lifers. And yet, when it came to the Planned Parenthood videos that exposed abortion and showed clinic workers holding up part of a baby boy's body and saying in muted terms, oh, look, another boy, that was somehow something we shouldn't jump to conclusion on. We have to be careful and look for a way to discredit this. It's a double standard, but that shouldn't surprise us, Todd. We know where the mainstream media is on this.
How do you respond to someone who says, and this is sometimes expressed in the pro-life community, out of frustration, I think, look, if we really believe that abortion is murder, shouldn't we defend babies by equal force, by killing abortionists?
No, that doesn't necessarily follow. What follows from your belief that abortion is intentional killing is that you will work to end it wholesale. It doesn't follow you're going to pick up a gun and go shoot an individual abortionist. And to use an example from Greg Kokel, before D-Day in World War II, the Allies dropped incognito behind German lines troops that looked like Germans, smelled like Germans, smoked German cigarettes, spoke flawless German, and they were there to spy out the land and get ready for the big invasion that was coming. Every one of those Allied troops that was posing as a German believed the Germans were evil. But they didn't open fire on individual German soldiers the minute they landed incognito behind enemy lines. Why? Because they were after bigger game, and it would have put the whole operation in jeopardy if they had simply started opening up and shooting individual Germans. In the same way, pro-lifers, setting aside for the moment the moral question of whether this is justified to shoot abortion doctors, let's just forget that for a moment. At a practical level, why would any pro-lifer want to do that when they know that the ultimate goal here is to get legal protection for unborn children, and a shooting only puts us further away from that goal?
Finally, then, undoubtedly, at your next debate with the pro-choicer, they will say something like, rhetoric like Mr. Klusendorf's leads to incidents like the recent shooting at the Colorado Planned Parenthood facility. How will you respond?
I will have preempted that in my opening by quoting feminist Naomi Wolf, who writes in the New Republic something that I think we all would do well to listen to. She says the following to her own supporters. She says, when we cling to a rhetoric about abortion in which there is no life and no death, we entangle our beliefs in a series of self-delusions, fibs, and evasions, and we risk becoming precisely what our critics charge us with being, callous, selfish, and casually destructive men and women who share a cheapened view of human life. We need to contextualize the fight to defend abortion rights within a moral framework that admits that the death of a fetus is a real death. And then my question to my critic will simply be, you tell me, where is Ms. Wolf wrong? She's one of you, not one of me. Where is she wrong? And make them come up with an answer.
Scott Klusendorf is founder and president of Life Training Institute, author of the book, The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture, and a recent column, In Their Own Words, Pro-Lifers Aren't the Only Ones Who Call Abortion Killing. You could read this column and purchase Scott's book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Scott, thank you.
Thank you, Todd. Always good to be with you.